I think we're extremely happy with the results of the conference. We had an excellent high-level turnout. The regional vice president from the World Bank, the European Union Development Commissioner, I mean, the Secretary General of the United Nations was there, Secretary General of CARICOM, 8 prime ministers. We are very satisfied. I mean, we certainly came out above $1 billion, and depending on how you calculate and add it up, as much as 2.
Nearly 3 months on from the disasters, how would you characterize the situation in some of the most affected, including Barbuda and Dominica?
The situation is better, but it's a long road. It is a very long road to recovery. So, Dominica, we were there together just a month ago. The roads in the capital city, Roseau, are more or less clear. I was able to drive directly across the island, which would have been hard to do when we were there. But only 3% of the country really has electricity. There are large parts of the country without electricity. Water is back. People are showing up for work again, but big parts of the tourist industry, probably 50% of the rooms are out of service. Agriculture has been badly affected. The private sector's been affected. So it's still a hard time. So that's Dominica and Barbuda. I mean, really, people are just trickling back. Water came on yesterday, which is a big step forward for people staying for longer periods on the island. The roads and the public buildings have been cleared, and we're just at the beginning of people repairing their homes and determining whether they can come back and resettle or whether they'll perhaps have to wait even longer in shelters and so on for the conditions to be right for them to come back. I mean, school's not back. At least one of the schools needs to be completely repaired, and medical services are also very, very limited at this time.
There's been talk of rebuilding the affected countries as climate-resilient countries, in the first climate-resilient countries in the world. What will that look like in practical terms?
Yeah. There was yesterday, particularly in the high-level part of the conference, a clear pledge from across the region. They want to be climate-resilient region. And what does that mean? It means that the effects of climate change, which are already upon us in various ways, I mean, sea level rise, in particular for the islands, but also the increased ferocity of these storms, which they face as part of a normal existence, but have become stronger and stronger over time. You have to be able to be less affected by those things. So what are the practical steps you can do? What does that mean for the way your road network is designed? What does that mean for the way your electricity grid is designed? I mean, a big debate right now in Dominica is the question of, given that the whole grid went down, would it make more sense to have 4 or 5 microgrids on the island so that with different power sources, so that if one place was badly affected, it wouldn't necessarily affect the whole island. So these are really complicated issues to work through. What do you do for your schools and your hospitals to make sure they are as climate resilient? So we have a smart hospitals program that the Pan American Health Organization's been implementing. And actually the hospitals that would have benefited from the improvements, and that's, those are both kind of hardware improvements, but also software. How do you operate them? Seem to have come through quite well through this last period. A lot of it, the thinking has been about hardware. And again, it's about where are communities located and how are houses built and are they built to code? But there's also that governance software, which is an important part of it, too.
And what sort of financing mechanisms are being looked at for rebuilding, given that traditional methods such as aid simply will not generate enough resources?
Right. And that's a very good point. What we've seen in terms of the debate around the financing for development in recent years has been the question of, what can be generated by the domestic economy, what can be generated by the private sector, and what comes from official development assistance. And as you're correctly pointing out, the consensus is official development assistance is not going to be sufficient. Now, at the same time, I want to kind of flip that around and say, nonetheless, official development assistance is still going to be a crucial part of this overall picture. So what we're seeing is pledges from a number of countries who would be willing to contribute to building housing for the people. I mean, for example, the government of Dominica feels it's probably going to need to build somewhere in the region of 6,000 houses. So you'll get some official support. You'll get some loan support and then private sector support and private foundations. I was at an event last night run by some Caribbean people who are aiming to build 200 houses across the region. So we will have a whole series of different initiatives there to get people back into housing. But I do think, notwithstanding the fact that there may not be enough donor funding, that donor funding is going to be crucial. That will be the central part